Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of 3GT, Three Guys Theologizing, where a pastor, a parishioner, and a professor get together and discuss theological issues and sometimes just normal issues from a theological and a distinctly Reformed perspective. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Barry York, but we are still missing our pastor, Kyle Borg. We wish him well. But we do miss him. We miss his banter, his quasi-witty sayings that he throws at us, and really the insights that he brings. But how are you doing today, Barry?
I'm doing very well. I had some time this afternoon making a huge leaf pile with my grandson, and there's just nothing more refreshing than being outside on a cool fall day playing in the leaves with the grandson.
I can imagine. Having no grandchildren yet, I can imagine though just how fun that would be. And then you get to send them home to mom and dad to clean them up. And
yep,
he was. Sounds like fun.
Sent home with dad, so we had a good time.
Oh good, good. Hey, not to segue into it, but I'm just going to jump right into it.
Like jumping into a leaf
pile. I don't know if you've been
pile.
Watching the news. Kind of like jumping into a leaf pile. Yes, thank you. You helped.
There's a segue for you.
Transition smoothly. anybody who's watched an ounce of news the past week obviously knows that there was a verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case up in Wisconsin. But it's gotten me thinking, and it's not just about that case, but in general, politics in general. In dealing in life, that there has to be a way, Barry, for people to disagree about stuff. I mean, we're not all going to see eye to eye on every issue, but how do we do that and maintain, a biblical posture? How do we disagree and not be disagreeable? And I know I deal with this in the courtroom quite often. There are times that, believe it or not, I do get a little bit heated. I don't agree with the defense attorneys on a regular basis. But yet I try to maintain some professionalism about it. I get snarky from time to time. But, it's easy because both I and the defense attorney, we understand that we have a certain job to do, but it's not personal oftentimes. How do we, I would just like to discuss some strategies, some things that we can do as Christians to disagree and yet maintain our Christian character and not be disagreeable. So does that sound like a fair idea to you?
Sounds like something we could talk about. Hopefully by the end of the episode, we're not at each other's throats.
I agree.
We should have done this in parody. We should have started off having this conversation, but by the end of it, we're both yelling at each other just to make a point.
Well, that kind of reminds me of the episode. It turned into a
how to discourage your pastor.
Screwtape Letters type episode.
Yeah.
Yes. How to discourage your pastor. How to be a jerk while you're disagreeing with people that you love. And we're doing this for Thanksgiving, right? Because nothing brings out disgust and anger and vitriol like Thanksgiving dinner. So we're trying to do this in a timely way to help you throughout the holiday season as you gather with family and friends that I'm sure you're going to disagree with at some point.
That's right. I've actually had several people ask for prayer about getting together with their family this Thanksgiving because of concerns along these lines. I think it could be a timely episode for folks.
Oh, well, it certainly wasn't the idea, but I think we can run with that. Barry, does the you're the professor, you have your you know, your doctorate in biblical studies and things along those lines. Does the Bible say anything about how we're to behave when we disagree or there's conflict?
Yes. Well, and I think, you know, you mentioned this Rittenhouse case, and we're not going to discuss the particulars of that, but I think what you're thinking in that is that people can't go online and discuss it without ridiculing those who might be on either side of the case and that type of thing. And mm-hmm. and people talking about the case as if they're an expert when there's so many facts and things that the courtroom is seeing that most of us just don't have access to. We've talked about that in earlier episodes on with respect mm-hmm. to other cases. But I do think that as we think about just the vitriol that's out there in our society, the Twitter wars, all those things that are going on, that it is important for us just to keep revisiting this. Part of really the reason that we have the podcast and our blog associated with it, in part, is to try to present a faithful witness to Christ on these in these formats, but to do so in a way that also faithfully witnesses to the Spirit of Christ. And mm-hmm. a week or so ago, from when we were recording, I was asked to speak at a conference, and it was put on by a local PCA church and a friend of mine who's the pastor there. And then I ended up speaking on the gentleness of Christ. And that was a good study for me, just to look at that subject and topic again. I treated it out of Matthew 11, where Jesus describes his own heart as being gentle and lowly. And one of the things I was saying to the participants there is that gentleness is to be a quality of Christian leadership. That's certainly seen. We're told in the qualities regarding an elder that he's not to be a bully in the New American Standard, but to be gentle. So that's just part of leadership. Paul described himself mm-hmm. in dealing with people. To the Thessalonians, he said, I proved to be gentle among you, like a nursing mother. So he was willing to use that imagery regarding himself. And then I just talked about how it's not just Christian leaders, though. The Christian life is to be one of being gentle and realizing how our speech can be affecting others in good or negative ways. A couple of verses that come to mind are Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. 1 Timothy 2 talks, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. So I think that one particularly pertains to what we're wanting to talk about today, Scott, that even when we're trying to correct someone, that we go to them with a spirit of gentleness. I think that that's important to think about with respect to when I'm really in a situation where I have to correct someone, and actually I have to do that quite a bit as a professor. I correct a lot of students, but I always try to think about if I were going to be corrected about this issue, whether it's my preaching, about something I wrote, or even sometimes conflict that takes place at the seminary, if I were in that situation, how would I want to be approached? How would I want someone to come to me and offer correction? So I think that's really important to do as a Christian, since the peacemakers talk about this, the ministry, the peacemakers talk about putting yourself in the other person's shoes before you start speaking, so that you talk to them, follow that golden rule of doing to them what you would want done unto you. So I think that's some of what we should be thinking about when it comes to how do we handle interactions, and particularly in situations where we have disagreements.
Yeah, and you know, the Bible is very clear, as you pointed out, numerous places that a lot of avoiding of conflicts is incumbent upon us in the way we speak and the way we approach people. You know, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. And I think it's very helpful for us to remember that how we say things is oftentimes equally important in being peaceful as what we say. You deal with that in the courtroom, right? I mean, I could stand up and be just a real horse's hind end and probably get nowhere. But if I approach the same issue and have the same discussions from a more gentle or reserved or thoughtful way, it goes much farther. And it works the other way. You know, oftentimes I get on defense attorneys that, you know, you don't need to approach me like that. Just, you know, come and talk to me. You don't need to yell at me. You don't need to be condescending. Just come and talk to me and we can handle it, which raises another point. And that's communication is often two ways. So we can do everything we can to try not to offend somebody. But that's only half the battle, right? I mean, what are some of the things that we can do to prevent being easily offended? Because oftentimes it's easy for us to say, well, I wasn't offensive, but you're really offensive to me. What are some of the things that we can do to safeguard and check our heart from committing that error and being disagreeable?
Well, I think the first thing that just comes to mind is, and you've hinted at it really, is that we've got to be able to listen. And James tells us that we have to be slow to speak and slow to anger, but quick to listen. And again, that's not a natural quality of mine for sure. Preachers are used to having their mouths open. And so it's just so important. And, you know, Scott, we had that episode where we brought our wives on for just a moment or two. And I had some good comments following that. I think our listeners would probably enjoy having our wives on more often. I don't know if we'll
probably
when I almost tricked Miriam into coming on. I ran into the house and said, "Hey honey, come out here. I need you for a minute." So she came following me. What is it about? Oh, you're going to talk on the podcast for a moment. So anyway, but
yeah, well, you know, truth be told, Allison said, "You're in trouble." And I said, "Oh, no, it's fine." But no, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. This is going somewhere because it's really my wife that I feel like has really taught me this in a few different ways. So first of all, she's just a great listener. And I like to tease her because she always thinks it's me at church, causing us to get home late, being one of the last ones left. But there's often I'm just standing there trying to find someone to talk to because my wife has several ladies around her. And part of it is she just listens. And so I know people appreciate that about her. She's a great listener. She asks good questions. And so that's very helpful. So I've learned to listen just in part by her example, but also by her frustration with me. when I'm not listening, and she knows it because she doesn't hesitate to let me to know that I wasn't really listening to her. And sometimes she'll even ask me questions to prove the point. So, and as I get older, I just see it, how important it is to be listening to people. And I think that's part of what's going on. There's a lot of shouting going on, but there's not much listening to the other side. It's just how quick can I come back with a clever put down? Mm-hmm. You see that in the comment section of blogs or Facebook posts or on the Twitter sphere all the time. So, and if people like to think that, well, I do that on social media, but I wouldn't really do that in person, but they don't realize they're training themselves. What you do digitally, you're starting a habit, and I'm sure that comes out in your personality as well. You are your pixels more than you think you are.
And to what extent, Barry, because I know what answer I would give, but what extent do you think pride plays a part in this not being able to disagree with somebody?
Oh, that's at the heart of it, I believe, is that we want to think that we're right and correct. And I think, you know, the whole idea of, we were talking earlier a little bit about gentleness. Well, the whole idea behind it is that of humility. And so when someone's spouting off and not having a regard for the thoughts of others, even with whom they disagree, they're really walking in pride. And there's been many a time where I've gone into a session meeting with a hot idea, thinking that there's no way anyone could disagree with this idea, or, you know, I'm getting ready for this discussion and I've got my viewpoint in mind, and I espouse it, and then I'm met with resistance. And at first, you know, you always get that self-defensive mechanism springing up inside of you. But if you really go prayerful, there's been so many times like I've been convinced that I wasn't right. Like that's actually got greater wisdom than what I brought to the table. And that's just so important as a pastor, as an elder, certainly, that we have to be able to listen to other people and let them change our viewpoints if we're not right in what we're thinking. Or even if a decision is made at a session meeting, for instance, and your vote didn't carry the day, that you're able to still walk in peace with your brothers, even though you didn't win that particular battle.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we're not speaking of things of a sinful nature, right? I mean, there comes a time where you have to stand your ground when it comes to sinful behavior and sin and ungodliness, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what Luther had to do. You know, when he was being told to stand down from his writings and teachings, he said he couldn't do any other because God had not convinced his conscience otherwise. And so he said, "Here I stand." And I think we need to have that spirit at the right time. But what I see is too many people think they're little Luthers and it's over some silly tertiary right. issue, or not even tertiary issue, just some little thing, because it's their own personal vendetta. It's their own, they're just wanting their way. And that's when it's ugly and wrong. And some flight, I see that sadly too often in the church. And I can look back and see those times in my own life where that's happened.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the Bible kind of, it's has demonstrated that there has been conflict between people, right? Real people, not just imaginary, but real people. And it had real results in the church. And for good or bad, and probably for good, you know, it affected the early church. And I'm thinking specifically of Paul and Barnabas. So they had a disagreement about how to handle a situation with Mark, and it caused them to go separate ways. Do you see, was there wisdom in that? Was there foolishness in that? Do you think that's something later on in life? Maybe they came back and said, I was a hothead then. I'm sorry. I mean, what are your thoughts? Why? Obviously, I'm asking you to speculate a little bit about what they're thinking, but what do you think the Bible's getting at and putting that episode there in the book of Acts?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to touch on that. I just want to say one more thing about the standing against sin, because I think it relates to this, and it'll segue hopefully into answering your question. But even when we are taking a stand against sin, I think that we still have to have this proper spirit about us, because almost the greater the issue of sin, the more that we need that wisdom from above, that heavenly wisdom that James talks about, that's pure, peaceable, gentle, that we go to people in the right spirit, because it is that, as you said earlier, it's that gentle word that can break a bone, even the scriptures say. And so we want to use that gentleness in dealing with conflict. In the case of Paul and Barnabas, I think it's one of those sad, but almost inevitable situations in the life of the church in doing ministry, where what we might call the philosophy of ministry can divide people, and yet ended up resulting in fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. Paul thought Mark wasn't ready to go back out yet again, and Barnabas did. Barnabas thought that would be the best thing for Mark, mm-hmm. and Paul did not. And is that right or wrong? I don't know that we have to really make that judgment. That was just the opinion, the weighted opinion of both these men. I wouldn't want to argue against Paul. I mean, he was an apostle. But Barnabas was a good guy,
that's
too.
Right.
And, you know, in the end, we know that Paul was eventually reconciled to Mark and even wanted Mark with him at the end of his life, as we see in 2 Timothy. So clearly, I don't think either man gave up on Mark. It was just at that moment what was the right thing to do. And so these things do happen where personalities can get involved, the philosophy of ministries can be different, there's different approaches to things. And I think even then, when we see other churches doing things a different way, or even within our own congregation, certain people wanting to do a ministry, and it's not really the way that we would necessarily do it, I think it's important for us, again, to keep the spirit of appreciating the gifts that others bring to the table, the approaches that they do. And just to be, you know, something that always I'm always reminded about is that, you know, the Lord is their judge. I'm not. And I'm going to stand one day and give an account right. for my ministry and how I behave toward other people. And I need to be really careful not to be sitting here in judgment over how they're doing their life and their ministry in the church.
Yeah. Do you think there was some wisdom there in Paul and Barnabas kind of going their own separate ways and respecting the gifts and the talents and the opinions that each man had, you know, rather than stay and have this abiding conflict between the two? Why, you know, do you think there was wisdom? I could see the wisdom in saying, look, all right, Barnabas, you think he's ready, go ahead and take him. I don't want to focus on that. I'm going to go my direction. I mean, do you think that in that respect, they were disagreeing in an agreeable way? And that was, hey, we're just going to part ways right now. God be with you as you go, but I'm going to go do what I believe I'm called to do.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is accurate. And one of the important concepts that we believe in is those who follow the Westminster Confession of Faith is in the liberty of conscience, that we have to be really careful in the church not to impose my will on someone else. That's just not the way it is. The only thing that we can impose on anyone is the will of God through the scriptures, that we can, where the Bible commands things, we can command them, but we can go no further. And so in something of that nature, where it's two differing opinions, then I think that was the again, it's unfortunate, but the best course of action is to let them go ahead and follow their own liberty of conscience and their own sense of how they were going to serve the Lord's will. I know I've certainly been in situations where, you know, I've seen this when people have actually left the congregation to go elsewhere. You know, my will was, you should stay, like, we really need you here. And yet they were convinced that they needed to go take a job somewhere else or serve somewhere else and that type of thing. And again, as a pastor, you have to be really careful not to impose your will on someone else, because it's not my church. And it's so important to always keep that in mind. It's the Lord's church and it's his people, and they need to be allowed to serve him in ways that are fitting to their gifts and conscience.
Right. I mean, it's okay to express, you know, I disagree with this decision you're making. I mean, and that's okay. And
yep.
Right. And they can say, well, yep. I disagree. I think I'm being called here.
Yep. I've told people that I don't agree with you, but I'm not going to stop you. And I can think of a couple of situations where it actually turned out well for him. And I've had some people come back and say, I wish I'd have listened. So you don't know, because you know our knowledge is limited.
You know, so to get this on a very practical level, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up, and I trust that, you know, this isn't about you, but there are families that I'm sure that are going to get together, and you know, there's differing opinions, be it, you know, political as the case may be, medically. I know that you know, right now it seems like whether or not you're vaccinated, that's the you know, the litmus test of whether or not you love your neighbor. You know, it was masks last year, it's vaccination this year. There's all sorts of, you know, even theological things, theological differences that you're going to run into when you gather together with your family and your friends. You know, what are some of the tips, or what are some of the things that you try to bear in mind as you go into these situations, knowing that there may be a difference of opinion?
Well, it's interesting how people will fire away on the internet, but when they get face to face, and they're often intimidated to say things. And you know, you hear that old adage that we can talk about anything except religion and politics when we're together. And I think that's unfortunate. Those are important things to be discussing. I just think, again, it comes back to the manner in which we have our conversations. And so I know that, and I got to be careful because you never know who's listening, but I know in certain settings, I'll just put it this way. I know in certain settings where I've gone, and I know that there could be those hard conversations or those difficult topics that people may bring up, that first of all, just to go in a spirit of prayer, it's just important to do that. We're praying and asking the Lord to help us to know when to speak. I regularly pray like the psalmist, just help me to keep a guard over my mouth. Because I just have seen so often where I'll say something, and instead of it helping the situation, it just creates more tension, or I'm not even thoughtful about what I'm saying. And so I think it's important to just be in prayer. What about you? I've been talking about talking too much. I've been talking quite a bit. What about you? What are some thoughts you got on these lines?
The first thing I want to say is this, Barry. Were you referring to fellowship lunches where you had to come and talk to me? That you had to?
Yeah, that's right. We've had some interesting conversations over the years.
Yes, we have. And you were always gentle, and I appreciate that, even with a rambunctious young punk like me. You know, I think that sometimes it's good to just let people say their piece. There's not, you don't always have to give an answer. You don't always have to respond. I think that's been one of the things I've learned over the years, is not everything that's said to me requires a response, deserves a response. You know, what I try to do is be judicious with my words. You know, there's no sense in stoking a fire if, you know, also consider the source of where things are coming from. Is this something that they're typically doing? And I don't have anybody in mind in particular, I promise you that. But you know, if it's just a personality trait where they come across a little bit grumpy, like an uncle who is just a curmudgeon, you know, accept it for what it is and move on. I do have experience with that in my real life when I'm practicing law. I don't take personally 99.9% of the things that get said to me by other attorneys. It's not personal. It's their personality. And once I've learned to deal with them in that way, to see what they're saying, not as in a personal attack, but just it's their personality, we've gotten along much better. I am thinking of a specific attorney with that. So I think just being able to hold our tongue and not feel like we have to answer everything is a good step. And then realize that, you know, maybe people just aren't ready to hear what you have to say yet. So, you know, I think that we've talked about a gentle answer, but sometimes no answer or no response is the best response. Yes. So that's kind of the attitude I've gone with over the past few years. And another piece of advice, my dad, we were talking about this several years ago, not this particular topic, but he said, you know, Scott, as I've gotten older, I've realized that there is less and less I want to fight about, but the things I want to fight about, I'm willing to fight harder for. And I thought, you know what, that's pretty wise.
Yes, it is.
We don't need to fight about everything. Just because you and I disagree, you know, okay, we don't need to fight, but those areas that we do need to fight, we need to fight to the death. And so I really appreciate that wisdom from my father, in that respect. It's funny, you come to see how wise your parents are the older you get. And so, Dad, I don't know if you're listening or not, but thank you for that. That's been helpful.
I'm a senior, Dad. I always used to enjoy when your mom and dad would visit church. And so I haven't seen them for years.
Yeah. They come and stay with me some over the summer. So if you're ever in Indiana throughout the summer, you might see them, but you know.
Yes, that'd be good. Well, I have a question just that this is making me think of that I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are. You know how you get sometimes at church or work or wherever, and there's a person that comes your way, and you know that as they're walking towards you, that you're going to be in an interminable conversation with this individual, that they're just going to keep talking and talking, or maybe you're just caught in it. You couldn't avoid them, and you're in that conversation, and you know that you can't leave it, and it's going to go on way longer than you wanted it to go. What do you do? Mm-hmm. And then I'll tell you, and you tell me what you do, and then I'll tell you what I do.
Well, here's the secret. If you don't know somebody like that, you are that person, right? hopefully I'm not that person. That's very difficult because on the one hand, you want to be polite, right? You don't want to, but on the other hand, I mean, there's 50 other people at church and 100 other things that you'd like to get done. You know, sometimes, you know, that's really interesting. Let me think about that. And you know, that's one thing that you could say. I don't know what you do, Barry. I don't have a good answer, and I don't want to give away my, my tells, you know, when I'm trying to get out of a conversation. So that's why I'm not being very specific.
If someone's listening, you don't want them to catch on to what you're doing.
That's right.
So you know what I do?
What do you do?
I just pray. And I say, Lord, please release me when it's your will to do so. Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. You can even quote a psalm.
But you know, we laugh, but that's very wise and something I've not considered.
I just feel like when I'm caught like that, the Lord is in control of everything, right? So I can't just walk away. I can't be rude. So I just ask the Lord to release me from this prison when it's his time.
You know, yeah, that's probably the best, holiest way to handle that situation. So wow, I appreciate thanks. Those.
I don't feel holy when I'm praying it, but thanks. The encouragement.
Well, it's a lot better than some of the ways I've used in the past, not at church, but you know, in the past.
Yeah, like they mention someone's name, you say, oh, they're right over there. And you point to them, and then when they look over, you walk away.
Never done that. So, Barry, do you have plans for Thanksgiving? I know we're not quite there yet, but do you have plans?
Yeah, we're going to go a little quieter this year. It's been a stretch of great busyness. So we have some of our family coming over and our neighbor, widowed neighbor. So we're going to enjoy a quiet day. How about yourself?
We are going to do the family thing with Allison's parents and siblings. So it'll be a good time. We enjoy being with family. So we should have fun, and it's close to home. So I get to come home and take a nap, which is always important for an old grumpy person like me. I'll get my cardigan on, put my slippers on, and I'll take a nap.
Make sure you take a picture and send it to Kyle.
I wish you were here. Not really. That's what I'll put. Wish you were here. Not really. No. No. Well, I think that about, we're about out of time, and I appreciate the conversation. Hopefully the listeners have gleaned something. If nothing else, they've gotten to peer into our souls for just a brief time. And we do want to wish we want to wish our listeners a happy Thanksgiving. We trust that the Lord has blessed you this past year in unimaginable and unfathomable ways. We do enjoy hearing from you, talking with you, and getting your email. So we would encourage you to do that. We do covet your support as well. We are listener funded. So if during this Thanksgiving season, you feel like showing your gratitude by donating to us, you certainly can do that, and we would appreciate it. But until next time, we do thank you for listening and joining us on 3GT.